This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. Governor Rick Snyder's proposal to privatize all or part of the mental health services funding has been in the news lately. The governor has suggested $2.4 billion be shifted to Medicaid HMOs rather than public mental health organizations, according to reports in Crane's Detroit Business. Lieutenant Governor Brian Calley has been heading up discussions with a work group of public mental health agencies and advocacy groups. But it appears those talks have had some problems lately. Joining me to talk about that are Kevin Fisher, president of National Alliance on Mental Illness, or NAMI, and Don Hoyle, director of public policy of the ARC, an advocate organization for those with developmental disabilities. Let's start at the beginning here. How long ago did these talks with Lieutenant Governor Calley start, and what was the goal?
The talks with the Lieutenant Governor began shortly following the release of the budget language, which talked about switching funding over from the current system to going through the health plans, the HMOs. And that group met five times. The current meetings are a different animal, and they were subsequent to the recommendations of the original Lieutenant Governor Calley's group, and we were going to work on some different things. We thought we were being convened to continue the same work in a smaller group.
So what was the goal originally of the talks with Lieutenant Governor Calley and the Department of Health and Human Services?
Well, I think the original goal was obviously our opposition to the governor's proposal in the 2017 budget that would potentially privatize community mental health as we know it now. And so with that, we made very public our opposition. You're aware that there were public hearings held, I believe, back in February, March, and that, of course, spurred the initial 298 group that was approximately 124 people and now pared down to the group referred to more or less as the affinity group.
So this is the groups you're talking about are basically the players in the state, mental health agencies, advocacy groups, people who are concerned about or serve somehow people with mental health disabilities.
Mental health, developmental disabilities, SUD, yes.
So this is $2.4 billion. How has it been spent? Who has been managing that money and the services that go along with it?
The current system has evolved into 10 prepaid inpatient health plans who distribute the Medicaid money to 46 different community mental health programs in the state. Some of them are countywide, some of them are multi-county. But the Medicaid money has gone through those prepaid inpatient health plans to those entities to provide services to the populations that we mentioned. The number of prepaid inpatient health plans was just reduced to 10 from 19 previously, and for efficiencies and because it seemed unwieldy, I think, for there to be 19. The 46 entities that provide mental health services have existed for some time now. And the function of the prepaid inpatient health plans, I think, was to do some of the work the state used to do in terms of administering the money. Mental health programs also get general fund dollars that aren't Medicaid dollars, and they get those separately and not through the prepaid inpatient health plans. So it's a little bit complicated, but the money for providing services to the people we care about has typically gone to the community mental health programs, which is the on-the-ground deliverer or buyer of the services.
So why does Governor Snyder want to take it from the plan that exists, as you just described it, and shift it to Medicaid HMOs as he's proposed?
Well, that's the $64,000 or $2.4 billion question. We're not really sure what the motivation of the governor was. On the surface, I believe it was led to believe that it was to reduce some of the overhead, but we really don't know what his motivation is.
So the typical reasons, privatize because it's more efficient and it'll save the state money.
Yeah.
That's what we think.
Okay. So you've had these discussions. You've been involved in them for quite a while now. That larger group has been broken down into smaller groups. Has the Department of Health and Human Services or Lieutenant Governor Calley told you why they want you in smaller groups?
It's a single small group. And the reason we were given for the smaller group in the beginning was to gain more input from more people instead of just the 124 who were in the larger group. That was ostensibly the reason that we were just convened to gain input from additional people around the state, both providers of services and additional people who utilize services.
And that's what today's meeting was about.
Ostensibly, this is the third.
You keep saying that word. What are you hinting at?
What I'm hinting at is that we had some. There's been some disagreement among, especially the advocacy organizations, the people who represent people with disabilities, versus the other members of the group and the leadership from Department of Health and Human Services. There's been some disagreement about what the role ought to be and whether we were going to adhere to the work that was done already out of the 298, the large group. They came up with both values and mission, and they also came up with some specific recommendations or essential elements that needed to be there. And we were not getting, we didn't think, faithful adherence to those.
So you have this set of ideas, a set of goals saying, hey, look, if you're going to make this switch, here are some of the things you really need to be concerned about to make sure that the people who benefit from these funds, the people who need these funds, continue to get the services they require. And there's some concern that that's not being taken seriously by the administration. Is that what I'm hearing?
That's close. But we started from a different position saying we should reimagine what the system looks like and make the best system we can, and then we'll fall out from that whether we should adopt a different kind of funding or using different methodologies. To this point, there's not been anything that we've seen or that we've been through that leads us to believe that the governor's original plan makes any sense, either financially or for any other reason.
So you're taking the opportunity to say, hey, if we're going to look at this, let's really look at this. Let's see how we can make everything work better.
Exactly.
Where are we with this then?
That's the issue. Where are we with it was a bone of contention. Seeking more input just to seek input didn't make any sense to us. So we said, we'll seek more input, but it has to be in line with what we've already decided and with the core values and things we have. We need to ask questions or seek input on how best to implement what we've talked about.
You both feel this way?
Yes. And to go a little further, is our role, our continuing role in this process, is it going to be meaningful or is it going to be window dressing? And we had some concerns about that, and we've had to bat the ball back and forth. But we are cautiously optimistic after the lieutenant governor intervened again yesterday and brought us back to the table today. We're cautiously optimistic that we're back on track.
And I think that when you say we're together in this, there are some 11 organizations who signed on to the email to the governor, lieutenant governor rather, asking for his assistance or letting him know that we were very unhappy with the way it was going. So all of the advocacy organizations, all the organizations representing people with disabilities were absolutely united in this. We've not been pitted against each other in any fashion, nor have we seen any reason to depart from the unity we feel.
I have one quick final question. Cranes reported that Cali has said he's indifferent to who manages the Medicaid mental health funds when he started this work group. Have you found him to be neutral, open-minded about this?
I think so. And I think, to be really candid, I don't think that he's bought in any further to the governor's original proposal at all. I think he's relatively open-minded and has taken our recommendations that I don't think would lead in that direction. He's taken them to heart. So I give him a lot of credit for that.
And I would agree.
And do you feel the Department of Health and Human Services is also an honest broker in this?
I have reservations always, having been at this for quite a while. I always have reservations about whether there's a hidden agenda or a second thing somebody wants or what exactly they're pushing for. Once we gave up the notion that the governor was driving this, or his original statements or original budget language was guiding this, that doesn't mean there aren't other things that people want or push for. So a healthy skepticism, I think, is called for.
So, Kevin, I'm going to give you the last word. What do you think? Where do we go from here?
Well, again, I'm cautiously optimistic. I'm really glad that the advocacy community and even representation from the CMH community is united in finding the best solution that best serves our population here in Michigan. Not to start with who's going to administer the $2.4 billion, whether it's the health plans or the CMHs, but how do we utilize this opportunity to reimagine the system, to best deliver mental health care services and services to persons living with developmental disability and SUD issues. That's where we are.
Kevin Fisher is president of National Alliance on Mental Illness Michigan and Don Hoyle, director of public policy of the ARC. Gentlemen, thanks for talking with me.
Thank you.
My pleasure.